The Lord's help, we turn this morning to the Gospel recorded by Mark, the 7th chapter, and part of verse 37. The Gospel recorded by Mark, the 7th chapter, and part of the 37th verse. He hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. This is the confession of those who observe the mighty works of God. In particular, in this case, in the healing of a man who was deaf and dumb. And how kind was the Saviour, and what compassion did he heal the sick and the lame? This miracle was done in the coasts of Decapolis, as it says in the 31st verse. And that was an area which had 10 cities, including Damascus and what is now in modern-day Jordan, in Amman, the capital. The Lord had been to Tyre and Sidon. He'd been there to heal that woman whose daughter had been vexed of a devil. And now as he returns to Galilee and to Jerusalem, he passes this way to visit the needs of this man who was deaf and had this impediment in his speech. And the words of our text is the response of the people who observed and who heard that this man had been healed. He hath done all things well. They were astonished, it says. Maybe this man was well known. Maybe he had gone to many and various physicians. Maybe his case had been declared impossible. There are no impossible cases with the Lord, not even yours. He is the Almighty God. He is the sovereign ruler of the skies. He is well able to supply your greatest and deepest need, whether that need is in your eternal soul or in your providential pathway as you journey onward here below. He hath done all things well. If we look at the life of Jesus, surely if we have living faith, this will be our confession. The mighty miracles that he wrought, how he fed the 5,000, as we read of. We read of those two impossible cases in which Jesus did all things well. First of all, he supplied the needs of that great congregation who had come to hear him preach. The disciples did not know what to do. Their only solution was to send away the multitude. But what did Jesus say? How different was his will? They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. It seemed an impossibility. And in the hands of the disciples, it was an impossibility. They did not have the material needs to supply that many and vast need of that congregation. And they were brought into that extremity and into the one that followed for them to see that Jesus was the Son of God, for them to see the display of his power, for them to see the glory of God. His will may not be the same as yours, but his will is always best. Bring your impossibilities to him. Whatever they may be, there is no case too little. No case beneath his notice. Nothing too small, and there is nothing too large. There is nothing beyond him. There is nothing that exceeds his power. Bring your hard case to him. Put it in his hand. And watch him work. And you will have to confess, he hath done all things well. The disciples put those loaves and those fishes into the hands of the Saviour. And no one starved that day. Believer, you won't starve either. You may feel to be in just a similar circumstance you may be facing. It seems the same as them in a desert, running out of your resources. You fear for the future. Maybe literally you do fear of how you will find something to eat. Here's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And that knowledge is a loving knowledge. It's the knowledge of one who deeply cares for your needs. It's the knowledge of your heavenly Father, who has a almighty, eternal, holy, all-powerful love for you. And with him as your Father, you've no need to fear the future. There are more with you than any that will come against you. Your Father is stronger than anything you may be called to walk through this week. And not only that, he will walk through it with you. And he'll know each need and he will supply each need. As does not necessarily mean he'll supply it in the way you want him to, but he'll supply it. Your heavenly Father knoweth. And he cares. And he will supply your need. And you never shall perish, what Jesus can save. He hath done all things well. And then what about when they got into that ship to go into the other side at the command of Jesus? They didn't want to go. They didn't anticipate going. But for love's sake, they ventured. And then that storm arose. And they didn't turn back either. Jesus had bid them go to the other side. And no matter how hard that storm blew, they did not turn back. And neither must you. You say you did not expect the storm. And neither did the disciples. You haven't seen the finish of it yet. In the moment, all you can see is the darkness. You can feel the waves buffeting your little craft. You're sinking in faith. And wondering if you're about to be lost. But you know, we read in one of the Gospels about that account. Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. They couldn't see him. The darkness and the distance hid him from their sight. But he could see them as clearly as if he was with them. Again, your heavenly Father knoweth. He knows that you feel to be in the dark. He knows and he watches each stroke that you're toiling in. He sees each buffet of your little craft. He knows each fear which is in your heart. And while those disciples were toiling and rowing in obedience to their sovereign Lord's command, he was praying for them. And although you cannot see it this morning, troubled believer, while you're toiling this morning, down here, up there in heaven, Jesus is praying for you. He says to you this morning, I have prayed for thee, but thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Your faith isn't going to fail. It's going to come through safely. You're going to get safe to land. And you're going to be brought to that point where those disciples were brought. Truly, thou art the Son of God. You're going to be brought to where these people were brought to. He hath done all things well. That living faith he's given to you will endure. All that false faith that you thought you had, which was living, is going to be burnt up. It won't last the trial. All that hidden pride that you didn't know was there, but which the Lord knew was there all the time, is now going to come up. And you're going to see what God saw all the time and what he now intends for you to see. You're going to be brought down. Right down to his feet. You're going to be brought to this point. Your religion is going to be summed up in simply this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you come there, then you're going to find the Lord's mercies there waiting for you. He hath done all things well. The disciples didn't go to the bottom of that lake, did they? They got safe to land. And your soul will not perish in this trouble. It will get safe to land. And you'll come out a humbler, more dependent believer than you went into it. And you'll come out nearer your heavenly home than you were than when you went into it too. He hath done all things well. Yes, even those things that are hard for your flesh and which you would not by nature have gone through. You would be brought to that point. What thy wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for me. And seek that grace to rest in this. He knows what he's doing. You don't. But you don't need to know. All you need to know is that he knows. He's handling it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. He hath done all things well. And then what about that great work of salvation? He hath done all things well. In his whole life, here below, he was living, child of God, for you. Living that righteous life that you should have lived and have not. That righteous life which you need. There will be no getting to heaven unless you and I have had perfect righteousness to plead. We have not got one of our own. Because we are sinners, we have fallen short of God's standard. And if we fall short once, we can never save ourselves. If we did but realize it, we fall many times every day. But Jesus has done all things well in the work of righteousness. He's done all things well in that work of obedience as he kept the sovereign holy law of God, the Ten Commandments. And he kept it for those who had broken it on their behalf. And right from Bethlehem, in that manger, right to that moment when he cried out, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Through that span of his life, there was not a single moment of time when it could have been said that he did not do all things well. He hath done all things well. Some of you have proved it, have you not, in your soul's experience. All worlds his glorious power confess. his wisdom, all his works express. But oh, his love, what tongue can tell? My Jesus hath done all things well. And since my soul has known his love, what mercies has he made me prove, mercies which all my praise excel. My Jesus has done all things well. All the works he did were works of love. Almighty love. Saving love. All-powerful love. A holy love. A just love. A love which was consistent with the fiery justice of God. A love beyond all human telling. Beyond all comprehension. Beyond all conception. It was that love that constrained him to come down to this sin-cursed earth. It was that love that sent him to Calvary to die for sinners. The one and only sacrifice for sin that God will accept. The one and only way that you and I can find eternal peace and happiness. It is through the life and death of this one who has done all things well. There is no other way of salvation. And through the precious blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. He hath done all things well. He did all things well in Gethsemane's garden. In that judgment hall. And upon that cross. As he endured for sinners. The almighty anger of an almighty God for every one of those sins. An infinite number of sins of an infinite company of elect saints. And if you by faith, precious faith, get a glimpse of a suffering Saviour and have the assurance that what he did was for you, in the deepest of all notes you will be able to confess he have done all things well. He's done what none other could do. He has lived for you. And he has died for you. He's paid the great debt that you could never pay. In full. Completely, finally, and forever. A debt cannot be paid twice. It can only be paid once. Once paid, it's paid forever. He hath done all things well. And then what about that work that he does within you? Through the blessed and Holy Spirit. As he works in you that faith. That faith to look to Jesus. That faith to confess your sin. That faith to repent of sin. That faith to flee from sin. Who was it who turned your heart so it no longer loves those sins that you once delighted in and lived for, but now You find them oppressive and wish to be rid of them. Who is it that turned your heart to those pursuits that once you lived for and found such an attraction in and satisfaction? Now you find them to be empty and leave you with an aching void. Who was it that turned the friendship of the world that you once enjoyed now into something where you find their company oppressive? It was Jesus. You didn't do it yourself. You weren't born with it. It was Jesus. He hath done all things well. He's called you by his grace. He's given you that change of heart, that change of life, that change of principle. And the reason he has done it is because in his holy sovereign love, he does not intend to leave you behind with the wicked in hell. And therefore he will not leave you to join with them in their sinful pursuits while you're here on earth either. We have no right to claim to be followers of Christ if this world is our home, if all our satisfaction is here, if all our treasure is here. We are completely satisfied with its pursuits, its entertainment. For the disciples of the Lamb, they find this world a wilderness. It's not their home. Heaven's their home. And where your heart is, that's where your feet will run. And where's your heart? Is it in heaven or is it upon earth? What ways are you running in? Are you running in the ways of righteousness? Following the example of Christ? Or are you running in the ways of the world which will lead to ruin and endless despair? He hath done all things well. Child of God, let it be your concern while here below, as far as you can, to do all things well yourself. For love's sake, to him who has done so much for you, seek to glorify his name by a walk and a conversation consistent with your master. We can never achieve it, can we? But we shouldn't be satisfied with anything less. He hath done all things well. When he has rebuked you, child of God, and emptied you, he's done all things well. May not that seem like that at the time. But your heavenly Father saw that you needed it. And because he loved you, he would not spare you what you need to make you more conformed to the image of his Son. Seek that precious, strong, rare faith that clings to this confession. When God's will crosses your own, when he says no instead of yes, when he closes a door that you want opening, it's still true he's done all things well, just as much then as when he opens a door that you want. As when things are going well and successful. For the child of God, every day of his life, As his heavenly Father rules and overrules in his affairs, he has done all things well. He's done all things well in the precious promises he's given to you to encourage you. Those fear nots, so 77 of them in the Word of God. He says fear not, he says it for a reason, there's going to be fears. But you have no need to fear with a fear not. Because it's an almighty word. And God always keeps his promises. If he's promised you, fear not. Then all will be well. No matter how dark it may seem this morning. He'll honor his word. He always does. He hath done all things well. Right down to the Jordan of death. He will do all things well. And he will guide you, child of God, safe home. And in his arms you'll lose your breath. What a precious way to look at death. So different from the way the world looks at it. Death is to be feared to the worldling. It's the end of all their hopes. The end of all their dreams. The end of all their happiness. The beginning of their eternal sorrow and trouble. And they have every reason to fear and to dread. They are about to fall into the hands of an angry God. With an almighty crushing weight of wrath. And if you're a stranger to Jesus Christ in life, you will be a stranger to his mercy in death. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an almighty God. Who is a consuming fire and who's angry with the wicked every day and never more angry with them than at the moment of death. Why? Because man was born to glorify God. Every single one of us. That's why we were created. And a wicked man or woman, boy or girl, completely destitute of grace. Never in their whole life long once, not for one moment, do they ever glorify God or honor or obey him or bring the glory and honor due unto his holy name. And therefore at the close of life's journey, Almighty God looks at their life and he sees nothing but an offense. And he is justly angry with them. And who can face the almighty anger of God? But sinner, face it you must, and face it you will. If you are a stranger to Jesus. But the believer, who by precious faith has been brought to confess their sin, who's been brought to come with nothing to that cross of Jesus Christ, who's been brought to sort for pardon and mercy and forgiveness, and to find it, and to find in Jesus a precious friend. To know his voice. To recognize his presence, to see him by faith and to follow him. For you, child of God, when you come down to die, it'll be different. You'll fall into the arms of Jesus. To the arms of covenant love and mercy. There's safety there. There's pardon there. There is no anger there. There is acceptance with your Heavenly Father there. There is an eternal welcome home to heaven. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Where there your happy soul in glory will tell and rejoice to tell. Your Jesus has done all things well. Amen.